Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris, and this is one week we're going to avoid that topic that shall not be named. You know, the one that starts with the initials R, and the second word begins with the initial S. That one.
Oh, good.
Right, because of the fact that we've gotten letters both ways. Some people just can't get enough of the subject. One said, with Nick Redfern, has had two segments talking about the subject that shall not be named, and therefore he didn't know if he could listen to the rest of the show. I understand that. It's gotten to a point where it's pretty crazy, and every subject has been repeated and summed up over and over again. But I will tell you, next week, we will have Richard Dolan back on the Paracast, but I will restrict his comments about the topic that shall not be named to just a few moments, okay? And we'll move on to other stuff. Promise. I won't do it.
Okay.
or at least I'll make the effort, but if listeners start asking questions at forum.theparacast.com in the question bank, what is it that we're expected to do?
I want to know what his thinking was, why he decided to pile on the whole thing at the last minute, because I don't think he answered that question to my satisfaction when he was on before. Of course, I was on my way back from New Mexico not feeling very well, and I really couldn't hear it too well.
Well, also, he was talking to us just a couple of days after the event.
Right.
And probably hadn't formulated his full reactions yet. But yeah. Now that everything else has come out, look, we're talking about it without talking about it.
We're talking about Dolan. Anyway, yeah, we'll save all that stuff for later on.
Right. In fact, later on we'll be talking about UFO abductions. And we have a bunch of questions for our guest, Kathleen Martin. And we'll ask them later. In fact, the questions are so widely focused, we could probably do a whole show just on those questions. But we have a lot to ask her. And part of it starts with a letter that she sent us after listening to an episode we did back in 2014 with Robert Schaefer, where he made some disparaging comments about the Barney and Betty Hill abduction. Of course, as we know, Kathleen Martin is Betty Hill's niece, and she felt that he misrepresented that, and therefore she will have a few comments. We were going to have her on last year, and then we got to so many other guests, we just couldn't coordinate our schedules, and now we've been able to do that. So things are working better. But let's just look at some other things that have nothing to do with abductions or the subject that shall not be named, except that we keep naming it. And that is other topics that are of more interest here. What's new, if anything, with regard to the camera project?
Well, we have Ken Swinehart, our ISP, original ISP option, is now in contact with us again after a long period of silence. We kind of lost track of him. We didn't really know how to get in touch with him. He's back in the fold again and is going to be talking with Adrian, our new base station person, and figuring out a way to get him the high-speed internet that he needs. So I have a call-in for Adrian. We're going to talk here in the next day or two. Probably by the time this is broadcast, I will have spoken with him, and we'll figure out which of these three options that we're going to use to go ahead and get that thing up and running. And we have just a few procedural things that we need to do before we can actually start, you know, getting the thing actually up and operating. We also need to do this because our team of software developers in Italy want to know if that software is going to be effective with the other 570N camera, which they used a 570N camera to do the development. And then we have the other one that's going to be placed at the base station. So we want to make sure that the software is going to be working. You would think that if it works on one camera, it'll work on the other. It didn't work on a second camera in California. It didn't work as well as we expected it to. So we figured out that bug, and we're hoping that we don't have any problems with the base station camera. So, you know, it's three steps forward, two steps back, but it's going. And I'll be going up there again here in about a month to kind of, you know, work out any bugs that might be there once we get this thing up on the roof and on the little tower that we're building there. So it's baby steps here, but, you know, rest assured things are moving forward, and it's really good to have Adrian on board. He's very, very enthusiastic and seems to be a really, really up-to-speed guy in terms of the tech, and that's important because we need somebody that's going to be able to devote some quality time to making sure that this thing is operating properly. And then the next phase will be getting the all-sky cam operating properly, which is the camera that can give you a 180-degree view of the entire night sky, which will be the triggering mechanism for the other cameras. Once an event happens, it's triggered by the all-sky cam, and then boom, sends off the coordinate data to the other cameras. So we just have to take this thing incrementally and take it in steps. And we're going to then start discussing, once we get the all-sky cam and the camera at Adrian's up, and then figure out a way to get the one up at the Oasis, then we're going to kick into full gear with a Kickstarter or GoFundMe campaign and generate the cash that we're going to need to go ahead and maintain these internet accounts, and then also get the necessary funding together to start paying people a little bit of money. It seems that when people get paid, they they tend to work a little faster and a little bit more diligently, and all this has been done on spec, and everybody's been volunteering their time up to this point. So it's important that everybody gets taken care of so that they have motivation. You know, nothing motivates a person like a little success and a little cash in the pocket. So that's the latest report.
Now, as it stands now, we're still getting regular reports of strange events in that area?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just burbling along. Boy, I wish we'd had it up about a year and a half ago. We had a series of events around Blanca that were just quite spectacular sounding, some pretty amazing light sightings, and then also out in front of the Great Sand Dunes around the location of the, I think it's the Medno Ranch. I'm not sure if it's still called that now. Nature Conservancy has taken over parts of the Baca Ranch, and I think that spilled over on parts of the Medno. I'm not quite sure, but we had witnesses talking about lights out there. You know, it'd be nice to determine whether the methane that's underground there is possibly creating the illusion of objects, when in fact it actually could literally be like swamp gas. It could be methane somehow becoming illuminated out there. There's $2 billion worth of methane underneath that area there. So, you know, we want to be able to determine and figure out exactly what we're dealing with, whether it's close to the ground natural phenomena or these Bigfoot truck lights that people keep reporting out there over the years. And we had a witness who was working at the Hooper Hot Springs, is just slightly north and west of the location of our last base station. And they were looking directly to the southeast and seeing these strange lights out there. It doesn't sound like methane to me. The lights are white and red. Usually methane is, I think, blue and green. With some red possibly, but I'm sure some of our listeners will correct me if I'm wrong here. But anyway, yes, we've had, you know, some events that if we had had the cameras up and operating, they would have registered. So, you know, I think it's important to get it up as quickly as we can and then start logging the information and then talking about getting, the server to receive the signal and then have it up there for everybody to be able to look at, and maybe having a little window on their computer when they're doing work and stuff. So more eyes are better than, you know, than none. So, you know, it's again, like anything, it's, you know, we're taking it in stages.
Just a brief reference to this, the new iPad software coming from iOS 9 from Apple this fall will, on the faster, newer iPads, allow you to set up a second screen, a second window, like a multimedia player. It'll work fine with this. Coming up in our next segment, we'll be talking to Kathleen Martin, who has been studying UFO abductions for a long time. She, of course, is Betty Hill's niece. So she had the upfront and personal encounter with that situation. And a lot of questions from our listeners. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Honey, it's time for dinner. What are you doing over there on your computer?
I'm shopping for a new wallet. Mine is falling apart. Hey, did you know there's a company called ID Stronghold that makes shielded wallets to prevent electronic pickpocketing?
Oh, I didn't realize there was such a thing as electronic pickpocketing. What is that?
Well, apparently, many of the new credit and debit cards being issued have radio chips inside them called RFID that transmit our banking information to card readers when we pay. Unfortunately, a bad guy can also get one of these readers and go around the city scanning people, collecting their credit card numbers and personal information without us knowing it.
Wow, that sounds scary. Since you're getting a new wallet anyway, you should definitely get an ID Stronghold shielded wallet. Are they more expensive?
No. In fact, I can get a shielded leather wallet from IDStronghold.com for the same price or less than regular unshielded wallets from other stores.
Sounds great. My wallet isn't falling apart yet, but let me pick one out too. I want to be protected, and these wallets at IDStronghold.com look fantastic.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, folks, we still have that offer, by the way, for the Paracast Plus. Through Chris's generosity, we're offering a copy of Stalking the Tricksters free of charge if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus for 1 year or 5 years. But you don't just get the free book. You get the ad-free version of the Paracast with higher quality audio. You get After the Paracast, which is taking on a life of its own. In fact, last week we had Nick Redfern as a special guest on After the Paracast, continuing his discussions from the Paracast, but covering a lot more territory. To find out more, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Learn how to become a subscriber. It's such a deal. We have another deal here for you. We have Kathleen Martin coming back on the Paracast. Welcome back.
Thanks. Great to be back with you.
We probably don't have this all the specifics here, but the last time I heard from you, it was in response to the appearance of Robert Schaefer, a skeptic, on the Paracast in August of 2014. And evidently he had misrepresented to a fairly serious degree the Barney and Betty Hill case. Now, without going into specifics, because you have to listen to the episode again, and we're talking about 10 months ago, what are the things the skeptics continue to get wrong about that case?
Well, let me say that for one thing, the skeptics continue to state that Betty and Barney only saw a bright light in the sky. They say that they thought that the light was following them, and then that Betty had some dreams, and Barney believed her dreams, and that he simply confabulated his own story. And that is all complete nonsense. There is documented evidence that Betty and Barney had a close encounter with a craft. It was a structured craft. It hovered no more than 200 feet above their vehicle. It descended to within 100 feet of their vehicle. There is documented evidence, and this is conscious, continuous memory. It's recorded in the original documents that Barney observed entities on board the craft who frightened him greatly, and he stated that they were, quote, somehow not human. This was a close encounter with non-human entities. Yes, they did have a period of missing time. After the craft hovered over the vehicle as it was traveling down the road, and they heard a series of code-like buzzing sounds on the trunk of the car, they had missing time at that point. When they arrived home, they found that there was a magnetic field around the trunk of their car over those new spots that they discovered that hadn't been there the day before. Now, the debunkers say, oh, they were only watermarks. That's complete nonsense. Let's ignore the marks. Let's talk about the magnetic field. We found that magnetic field around other vehicles that have been involved in abduction cases. For example, the case of Matthew Reed in 2009, an important MUFON case. There was a magnetic field around the trunk of that vehicle, just like in the case of Betty and Barney. There are many things that have been stated that are absolutely false. Robert Schaefer, for example, wrote that the sky was cloud-covered that night and that Betty's perception was so off that she didn't even realize there were clouds in the sky. Well, in my research, I decided to look into this. I was willing to accept the idea that maybe she was wrong. People make mistakes. What I discovered is that he was deceptive in what he said. There were clouds in the sky, but they were the very high cirrus clouds that you see through. The average person doesn't even know that they're there. So that is just another example of what I consider to be deception in this case. It was a bright night. The moon was waxing gibbous moon. View from the top of Mount Washington, I believe, was 120 miles that night. So go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, I want to get back quickly, if we could, to the magnetic readings on the car. First of all, let me say that we've always known that debunkers tend to get things wrong. They tend to gloss over details. They tend to pick up on things and misrepresent them. So that's kind of par for the course. Obviously, we need to set the record straight, and I'm glad you just did. Now, my questions have to do with the magnetic readings. Who was it that actually, for our listeners that aren't familiar with the inside baseball aspects of the case, who was it that determined that there was magnetism, unusual magnetic readings from the car. How was that determined?
Okay, what happened was that Betty called my mother when they arrived home and told my mother that they were about their sighting and that they were very, very concerned that they might have been contaminated. We had a neighbor who was a physicist, and so my mother told Betty that she would call our neighbor and see what the physicist suggested she do. My mother did call, and the physicist told Betty that if she had a compass, she should take the compass out to the vehicle to see how it will react. Now, we know that it's not going to measure radiation, which has been stated in the past incorrectly. He didn't actually say what she should be looking for. We know that it's the needle will spin if you get it up near the battery of the car, but she started down near the trunk of the car. And when she started there, she noticed these new, highly polished spots on the trunk. They were the color of the car, only highly polished. They had not been there the day before. She took the compass and she moved it over the top of those spots, and the needle would spin and spin. And when she moved it away, the needle dropped down. Barney also tried this. The same thing happened. The upstairs neighbors also tried it. My family and I drove down to their house within 2 days, and we saw those spots as well.
You know, I'm just wondering, how could that, let's say for the sake of argument, that the bunkers say, well, somebody could have done something to, you know, to create that kind of effect that was viewed by using the compass. How could you possibly do something, just the average person, do something to their car that would then elicit that kind of effect? I'm kind of racking my brain to figure out a way that someone could hoax something like that, and I'm coming up with a blank.
Who would even have known? We didn't even know about ET contact or alien abduction in the United States in that time frame.
That's true, yeah.
You know, no, this hadn't happened. Who would have known what to look for or what to hoax?
That's true, but I can't even figure out, even if they wanted to hoax, how they could actually create that kind of reading. How would you magnetize and discolor spots and use that to focus in on some sort of process that could then elicit that kind of spinning of the compass needle? I'm trying to rack my brain. I guess the only other way would to have a big magnet underneath or something like that. That's the only thing that I could think of that would work.
Let's do our break here, folks. We have Kathleen Marden joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Do good people ever want to call an attorney just to find out if they're right or wrong? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what are you forced to think about first? Money. If you could call as often as you wanted and talk as long as you need without a bill, would you call? Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com, or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
You pick up the receiver with your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead. You finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you. you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jay Sean. Going once. Twice. Okay, we got to move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait. No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendivite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gina and Chris in the Paracast, Kathleen Martin, and she right now is correcting some of the errors with regard to the Barney and Betty Hill case, and why this is something that couldn't have been staged. There were physical effects. And that's even before we consider the abduction experience itself. So even if that didn't happen, you'd still have a pretty compelling UFO case, right?
Yes, you would.
I think compelling is a bit of an understatement, although, we have had some people come up with potential alternative theories about what actually could have happened. I've heard bannered about in the last few years that this possibly could have been some sort of weird MKUltra psyops type experiment with two unwitting victims basically being selected out for some reason and then having something like this staged. That explanation, it just doesn't – you'd have to come up with a lot of pretty far out sort of theorizing and some pretty wild explanations to come up with a way to explain some of the information that later came out. But what do you say to people that say, well, it was near a military base and this could have been some sort of weird sort of governmental, psyop project. And Betty and Barney just happened to be in the wrong car at the wrong place at the right time.
Well, you have to think about, did we have this nefarious group of individuals who were flying around in a silent, structured craft that was oval in shape or circular in shape? It emitted absolutely no noise except for, of course, the buzzing sound on the trunk of the car. It could outfly and outmaneuver anything that we had on Earth at that time. So they must have had really advanced knowledge. Maybe they were in cahoots with the ETs. However, Betty and Barney did not report seeing humans on board that craft. It has been misrepresented in the press and the media that Barney actually did observe Nazis on the craft dressed in Nazi uniforms. That is false. In all of his conscious recall and all of the documented evidence, he stated that they were non-humans and that they were dressed in black, shiny uniforms. He stated that their physical appearance was not human. So you have to remember that part of it, too. Under hypnosis, he did state to Dr. Simon that they reminded him of Nazis. Dr. Simon told Barney in this process of hypnoanalysis that he was doing with Barney, this was not just hypnotherapy, he told Barney for this hypnoanalysis to recall anything in his past that brought up the level of fear that he was experiencing at that moment. Barney had served in the Army during World War II. It brought up a memory of the movement of Nazi officers, the way they moved their bodies, how they turned in uniforms. During his first hypnosis session, after he had had a very violent abreaction to all of this huge release of emotion, Barney did erroneously state, he looks like a Nazi. He is a Nazi. He never said that again. He said a lot of false things during this state of shock and trauma that he was going through. He had never said it before. He didn't say it in subsequent recall. And Dr. Simon did return him to that same spot over and over again in his memories as he was able to get a clearer view consciously of what actually did transpire during that time frame when he was so terribly frightened. It goes on and on. When someone has a very firmly held belief that these are all black ops and working in cahoots with nefarious gray aliens, you're not going to change their mind.
No.
Probably even presenting the evidence. They want to believe it. There's some kind of a thrill that they get out of believing it, and people are entitled to their own beliefs, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Kathleen, one thing that I can say, in all honesty, I have heard parts of the tape of Barney's regression, and, you know, he missed his calling. I mean, if he was making this up and he was acting out this information, the guy was an Academy Award-winning actor. There's no question in my mind that he was relating things from an emotional, a deep emotional state that had an incredible impact on him. There's no question about that in my mind. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you actually knew the man, and you were a child, but still, you I'm sure you got a sense of his veracity. And why would somebody make something so outlandish up? There was no precedent for it. And just the emotional quality of his voice is almost chilling, if I remember correctly. I've only heard it once, and I forget who played it for me, but I remember I was very taken by it sure sounded legit to me.
Well, Dr. James McDonald asked Dr. Ben Simon, the psychiatrist, about this, and Dr. Simon said that the degree of emotional intensity in Barney during this event was as great or greater than he had ever seen in any of the soldiers, returning soldiers, that he had treated after World War II. It was very intense. And I have to tell you as well that at one point in Betty's experience on board the craft, Dr. Simon had to stop the hypnosis session early due to the degree of emotional trauma that she was experiencing at that moment. I think it would be pretty hard to make that up. And Betty and Barney would have no reason to make that up anyway. They were civil rights leaders. She was a social worker for the state of New Hampshire. He was appointed by the governor to serve on the U.S. Civil Rights Commission's State Advisory Committee. They never wanted this story to be made public. It was released to the public as the result of a violation of confidentiality, and it had a negative impact on their lives.
Now, obviously, we've all heard about the experiences they report on board this craft. But the question I have here is, we hear, of course, about screen memories, where supposedly false memories are implanted on a person to cover up the experience. But the question I have here, by the same token, is it possible that the actual experience differed from what they remember? And they're only remembering either what they were told to remember or something they couldn't understand, and they interpret it in a way that seems to make sense.
I can tell you that I have looked at this in terms of identifying screen memories. And the first thing that came to mind is when Betty and Barney had turned off onto that dirt road without intentionally doing that, and found that there were figures standing in the road and the car engine died. Barney at that point was talking about, was he looking at a Cheshire cat? He saw glowing eyes. Was this a cat up in a tree? Betty spoke about a jack-o'-lantern head. Now, were these screen memories, or were they only talking about the glistening eyes of the ETs? I'm not sure about that. It could possibly have been a screen memory. But very quickly, Betty and Barney did notice that there were non-human entities standing in the road, and that they divided into two groups and approached the car. Let's get on to other possible screen memories.
Let's do that in our next segment, okay?
Sure.
All right. Kathleen Martin is joining us. We're recounting some of the ins and outs of the Barney and Betty Hill case before we get to other cases, and something that she indicated, that some of these abductions are pretty recent. We'll have more to come with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the Earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com.
For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Before we go on, let me just remind you again that we have the free copy of Stalking the Tricksters and Chris O'Brien to give away. Just join Paracast Plus for 1 year or 5 years. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. And I've been talking to Kathleen Martin about screen memories in relationship to the Barney and Betty Hill case. And I think one of the things I was saying here is that it's common to talk of screen memories as something like remembering owls and things like that. And I'm suggesting, well, is it also possible that some of the key elements of the abduction experience itself with the aliens allegedly, wouldn't they possibly be also a possible screen memory of something else?
What I'd like to say is that oftentimes the ETs will place their eyes very close to an experiencer's eyes and impart information to the experiencer. That happened with Barney. He felt as if the eyes were pressing into his eyes, but he was being told not to be frightened, that everything would be okay, that they needed only to do a few simple tests, and they would be released unharmed. And Betty received the same message. The message was true, and I don't believe that that was a screen memory. If we go on to, take a step-by-step analysis of the process that Betty and Barney each went through on the craft, they were describing the same thing. But Betty used many more words. She always used many more words in her descriptive details than Barney did. And Barney had his eyes closed. He was describing the sensation of having his shoes removed, of having his feet examined, his legs, his knees, his joints, his hands. He was going through the same thing that Betty described, only he spoke of it in less detail. He said that he felt there something pressing into the vertebrae in his back. Betty stated that she felt that they had some kind of stylus or some kind of instrument, and that they had a screen on the wall that they were watching as they did this, as they were checking their nervous systems. What you have is the same story told by each and it correlates in detail when you take out, when you look at the basic story and take out all of the extra words that Betty used to describe what she was going through. So I don't think that that part was a screen memory. But we do know that Betty's and Barney's memory was wiped out in terms of what actually happened on the craft. They remembered consciously seeing a roadblock. They didn't know where or when it occurred. They knew that they were missing time, that they were in one location, and then they found themselves suddenly in a new location 35 miles down the road. They knew that they had missing time and they had physical evidence that something had occurred, that that physical evidence has been examined in laboratories with anomalous results. There's a whole lot of evidence that something occurred here and that it was non-terrestrial in origin. But in terms of screen memories, I can only say possibly at the beginning when Barney thought he was looking at a Cheshire cat and that Betty thought she was looking at a jack-o'-lantern head.
Yes, but I'm saying here the screen memory could possibly be the details they eventually recalled of meeting up with extraterrestrials or presumed extraterrestrials could itself have been something that was at variance with what really happened. I mean, if the aliens can do mind control, why couldn't it be with regard to the core experience?
If the core experience actually was constructed in some way by the ETs and not what actually did happen on that craft, I don't know. I mean, anything is possible. Yet, the story that Betty and Barney told about that core experience has been retold over and over and over again by experiencers. So if it's a screen memory, experiencers are all receiving the same screen memory.
And yes, but if it's generated by ET, this is what they want, whoever and whatever they are. They're subjects to remember. Wouldn't they repeat the same routine with anyone else they come in contact with?
Well, let me ask you this. If they were going to give humans a screen memory, wouldn't they want to make it pleasant for humans? Why would you want individuals on board the craft going through some kind of very strange physical examination? Why would you want someone to remember a needle being plunged into their navel? Why would you give them a screen memory?
Yeah,
and for Barney having semen extracted.
Yeah.
Why would you...
That's a really good question.
I would think if I were an ET, I would want to have a good reputation.
Well, maybe they don't care about their reputation because we can't analyze an alien's motives. And also the other thing I think people worry about is why they seem to use such primitive, painful methods to perform physical examinations. I would think they would be far in advance of us if they're coming here from other star systems. Why can't they just do it painlessly and respect the local populace? It sounds to me like they're treating us like just animals, nothing to take seriously.
And, that is my largest concern about the ET contact experience is why do they induce pain before they remove that pain? Why don't they just do that process so that the human doesn't feel the pain to begin with? And I wish that I could communicate that message to them because it is simply not fair for them to be doing that to people.
Well, of course, as I said, we don't know what their motives are. Certainly, if they're not hostile towards us, why would they inflict pain?
Yeah.
Because isn't it true that if you undergo an abduction experience, regardless of the source, it's painful, it's traumatic? I mean, if ET's coming here and doesn't mean us harm, why cause such grief? Someone's life is totally turned upside down from this.
They're not being trained in proper bedside manner.
Well, that's for sure. That is for sure. And I think that they're trying to do a better job than they used to. But think about healing. think about the people who have been healed by ETs. And the healing process can be painful, too. You feel electrical charges running through your body, but then you're healed from maybe a mental, a major illness. It caused some pain, but there was a benevolent purpose behind it.
No, I had a case where my experiencer claimed that she actually felt much pleasure and fell in love with her abductor, even though he was kind of not the neatest thing to look at. He definitely did have a bedside manner, and she really fell for it.
Well, I have to tell you that Betty had a very positive attitude toward the leader, the one she called the leader, too, right, that I call the escort, because he comes back to see you over and over again during your lifetime. But there is one individual on the craft that does seem to form a bond with experiencers. And in my research and my research project that I did with Denise Stoner in 2012, we found that people, once they arrived on the craft, tended to feel comfortable. They were in a familiar environment, and they had established a good relationship with this individual who removed the pain. So, unfortunately, you know, we get back to why are they causing pain to begin with? They don't need to do this, I don't think. I'd like to know the answer to that question.
Well, you know, you're talking about an escort and possible leaders who may be calling the shots here. We have a question from our forums at forum.theparacast.com, where our listeners are able to ask questions of our guests. And Cosmonaut, who, again, he's been, you know, on our forum since 2009, and he's only asked a few questions, and he came out to ask you one. And he's wondering what your take is on Dr. Jacob's concept that the mantis insect types are in command of the other alien types. That's the first question. And then the second question is that Jacobs has a concept that the hybrids are being trained to infiltrate human society. Have you found any evidence in your investigative work and research that can support these ideas?
We'll pick up on that answer, Kathleen, in a couple of minutes. What do want to say that I understand Dr. Jacobs has a new book that's probably coming out in a few months, which will sum up a lot of his work. So we'll want to know more about that. Kathleen Martin is here with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.